I was actually told after Sunday's message that maybe I need to not be so serious on one of my messages, so I thought tonight we would have a little bit of fun. I know children like object lessons, but I also know adults like object lessons, so we're going to have a little bit of an object lesson tonight. And I do realize that Wednesday night, a midweek service, that the majority of individuals that attend are believers. But as a pastor, I'm never going to think or assume that everybody here is a believer, that everybody here has their salvation. So yes, this will be kind of a object lesson towards salvation. If you're here as a believer, it's a good reminder. And it might be something that maybe you could show your children or your grandchildren. Some of you may know this object lesson as we get into it. But I really did think it's probably not going to. Now, Paul wants me out at 7:30. That means I have 7 minutes. Oh, wait. That clock is off. I have 6 minutes. But I told him that is unrealistic. I did let you all out early on Sunday. I finished up 15 minutes earlier than Pastor does. You all had the chance to get to Bill Miller's, huh? I have 10 minutes. I was told I have 10 minutes. Oh, that says 7:24. Oh, no, I don't pay attention to the one on the TV. That one fibs. Anyways, I got you all out early. You got to Bill Miller's before all those other denominations. And so, look, you know, do take your Bibles. Let's go ahead and get them open to 1 John. I'm friends with a guy named Captain Obvious, and I've been sharing some pointers that Captain Obvious has been sharing with me. I shared some in chapel today. Did you hear some of those, Brother Mike, today, chapel? So let's see. I got a couple. You know, he pointed this one out directly at me. I was a little upset when I got this, but he said, you know, people who eat less food tend to weigh less, largely due to the reduced amount of food that was eaten, which when eaten in lesser quantities has been shown to significantly decrease body weight. I bet you Brother Paul would like that one, right? You know, Brother Paul would like that one. Then he sent this one to me. I guess he's saying something here too. Water is a key part of staying hydrated. Most people who are hydrated have consumed water. This is because water is wet, which goes inside you, making you less dry. Oh, man. For those of you, you know, that have a little bit of anxiety, if you have social anxiety, it's usually because you are nervous about talking to people. Instead, just be confident. Confident people usually don't feel nervous, which makes talking to others much easier. Amen. Here's a very deep one. The most effective way to avoid a mistake is to ensure that everything you do is done correctly the first time. I surely hope that helps. Let's see, and one more maybe here. This one, we sang some birthday songs here. This is right on. According to research that dates back to the beginning of human existence, people who have more birthdays usually live longer than those that have less birthdays. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're feeling overwhelmed at work, it's likely because you have too many things to do. To fix this, simply do all the things, and then you will have nothing left to do. Amen. I love Captain Obvious. I do. I don't know him, but I do get these. I'll be seeing these at night, and I'll read them to April. She's always just shaking her head. She's shaking her head. Tonight. My main point, really, this is just dissolving sin. This is forgiveness of sin, this object lesson. We will get to prayer time probably earlier than normal because this is not a long message. I have been doing this object lesson since 2008. That's when I came across it. I started this object lesson in children's church. I did it as the superintendent there for our primary department, and it's just an object lesson that I love. But here's the thing: it may not work. Out of all the times I've done this object lesson, only once has it not worked, and it was at a Soldiers of the Cross youth rally. With the largest attendance that Community Baptist Church ever had, with 114 teens, not counting the adults, and it did not work. And I was being live streamed. It was very embarrassing. But in general, it works, and I hope you enjoy it. When we ask God to forgive our sins, you know, he does so through Jesus Christ. Then and only then is our sin overcome and destroyed. Can we agree on that? Amen? We should be able to agree on that. So I want you to imagine, I have two because I know when I look around here that I don't have as many angels as we seem to think we have. But I imagine that this styrofoam cup is like the record of your life. This is like the record of your life. And when you were born, it was perfect. You see, there's no markings on this. And when you were born, it was perfect. You had done nothing wrong. Well, I don't know. Some of you might have been doing wrong right from the womb. Talking about that, Monday, April and I became grandparents again, but to a calf. We had our baby calf. I say our baby calf. Our cow, Meriwether, had it. I am going to do another name the contest through the school, but we're dedicating this one to a sweet, sweet friend in Iowa. And so they have to name it using her name in the name. So Anna lost her dad, about three years ago, lost her dad to cancer. She really was into the cattle because of her dad. She's since then kind of moved away from it, so we're going to kind of dedicate this calf to her. Now, as Brother Ron heard from my chapel message, my thought for my name for her was Sirloin Anna Patty. And then that combines it all, because I can just imagine some, you know, mustard and ketchup right on those burgers. Amen? But the kids did not think the same. When you were born, it was perfect. You had done nothing wrong. You had a clean slate. But, and I'm looking at a mature crowd. I love y'all, but you're a mature crowd. All right? Except you over there. Where were you today when I was at Whataburger anyways? Oh, did I? You're not at this one down here? You're, huh? Oh, see? You didn't tell me. I just went to, I misjudged. I did go down and had a nice burger. I didn't invite April either, but... In the years that you have been alive, you have inevitably done some things that have displeased God. And the Bible, of course, we know the Bible calls those things sin. For example, maybe it's happened to me. It happens to me often. Maybe you became really angry. Maybe you became angry at your spouse. Now, Miss April never gets angry at me. But maybe you became angry at your spouse, or if you're a young person, maybe you became angry at your parents. Johnny never gets angry at you, does he? Johnny doesn't get angry at you, does he? No, he doesn't seem like he does. Maybe, in fact, and I know not here at Town East, but maybe you cursed them out. Maybe you said some things that you went out on to regret. I've done it oftentimes, and I'm being truthful there. I'm not being funny. I've done it oftentimes. Maybe you actually went and you dishonored them. So we're going to put dishonor here on our clean slate. Then, if we dishonored, we're probably anger. It can be a form of sin, can't it not? How about pride? We're already starting to fill up. If it's a child, whether it's one of our grandchildren or our regular inline child, if they're taking an attitude out on us, wouldn't that be disobedience? Well, is disobedience a sin? Yeah. Well, we better put disobedience on here. We want to put that. And I'm trying to write as I should have got a helper today. I should have had a Vanna White. Oftentimes, again, I don't think anybody here, I'm not accusing, but oftentimes when we get angry, you know, something might slip off of our tongue that might not be the right word. You know, some of those really bad words, some of those foul language, I would never hear that from here, but, you know, foul language. Can we count that as a sin, by the way? Sure we can. Anything else? You're in a fight. What else can we put on here that's sinful? You can participate. Rebellion. Yeah, that's good. Rebellion. Anything else? Lying. Oh, yeah. So we're probably going to address that one in a little bit, too, anyways, as we go down. But lying. Cheating. Okay, we got cheating. How about getting more towards the anger part of it? What else on anger for sin-wise could we put?
Disrespect.
That could be. I think disrespect could lead to sin. Really, almost anything we do can lead to a sin. So we'll put disrespect. So our clean slate's not looking so clean, by the way. It's starting to fill up. Okay. Well, then, as an example, maybe this is the technology age, we call it. Maybe you were browsing the internet one evening, or maybe you were on your tablet. Maybe you're a TikToker and you're watching TikTok, or there's so many of those now, different channels. You were doing something like that, and eventually, out of boredom, look, nobody's accusing anybody, but maybe you ventured onto an inappropriate site. And a site that you really, really enjoyed. And it happens, folks. It happens. And maybe you enjoyed it. And maybe it is a website that maybe you've revisited many times since. I think we could put on here probably lust, could we not? What else could we put to go along with lust? We already have cheating. What else with lust? Oh, that's a good one. What else?
Adultery.
I would say that's that is. And you don't have to commit it physically for it to be adultery, do you? Yes, Miss Judy. Correct, but I want to get more specifics to fill our cup up. So what else towards the sin, towards like lust or...
Spending more time
on your devices? I can put that? Yes, sir.
Unjust anger?
Unjust anger? That could be. Of course, anger in itself. I heard something over here, I think. What was it? Yeah. Anything else?
Revenge.
Look at look. What else towards lust? And by the way, it doesn't have to be an internet site. You could be out there at Walmart and walking around and a little bored and your eyes wander. We can get that wandering eye syndrome. All right, you could be anywhere out, and you know that attractive individual comes by, and that thought surfaces into your mind. It doesn't necessarily have to be the internet, but we do know that the internet is a dangerous place. Brother Kyle and I are working on some things just to protect our internet here for the school, because it is a dangerous place. You have many sites out there. Many appear to be very innocent until you delve into them deeply. And they can be very dangerous, and we want to be careful. How about maybe you got into a... Now, none of you would do this. Yes, ma'am.
Deceit.
Oh, I like that one. Yes, very good. Deceit. I like that one. Maybe some of you would have to reflect back to high school, because hopefully none of us would do this, but maybe you got into a fight with a friend, and in the heat of the moment... By the way, adults still fight. Now, sometimes we don't do it physically, but we sure will do it verbally. And we'll sure get angry, and we'll sure, all of a sudden, I hate to say it, be cussing each other out over the phone or even in person. And it goes back to even our first illustration, part of the illustration. But maybe you got into a fight with a friend, and in the heat of the moment, you decided to call another friend. Now, nobody here would do that, would you? Call another friend to talk about it. Gossip. Oh, my. One of the worst sins. I'm going to put that right up here on top, because other than the root of all evil being money, of course, gossip is right up there as one of the worst sins. And you were talking about it, and that conversation quickly turned into the gossip session. And what else could go along with gossip? What could gossip lead to? We already said some of them, because it can lead to lying. It can lead to anger. It can lead to all kinds of things. But what else maybe that we haven't got?
Bitterness.
That's good. What was over here?
Hate.
Wouldn't hate be a sin? Bitterness be a sin?
Scornful.
I heard that. Yes. What else?
Unforgiveness.
We should always have a forgiving heart. And I know my message was pretty hard on Sunday, but we are to love our enemies. And part of loving our enemies is having forgiveness. I like that. What else? Jealousy. That's and a lot of times when we're angry with our friends, it's over
jealousy.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. By the way, here's our clean slate. It's not looking so clean, is it? By the way, this is most of our hearts right here, right now. Now, thankfully, probably being a midweek service, hopefully most, if not all of us, may be saved. I'm not going to assume that. But this is our hearts. This is our free will, our human nature. What else can go along? We have jealousy, scornful, anything else?
Envy.
Yeah. So often when we fight with our friends, it's because of envy. Sure. What else?
Sowing discard.
That is good. We oftentimes, when we have fights with our church family and our church friends, we often tend to sow discord in the church building, in the church house. And of course, any time that is sinful. What else we got maybe? Well, that would go not necessarily, I don't think, to this one, but that is that's a huge sin, isn't it? What are you saying? Were you calling me out? I only had one burger and a large fries today. And look, I had vegetables on my burger. I had the Monterey one. I had peppers and onions on it. Look, I will make anything healthy in my mind. All right? That's why I've told you before, a taco is a salad in my mind. It's just a salad in a shell. Amen? That's the way it is. Clams with cheese on them are pretty good too, huh? You love those. I know. We should go get an order of those, huh? You just ask Adri sometime about her clams. She loves them. She wants you all to bring her some here this Sunday. What else do we got? We have some gluttony. We can kind of get into some more of that. Did I even write that on here? Maybe not. What was that?
Vanity.
I haven't heard that one in a while, but yeah, that's a good one. What else we got? Y'all are getting A pluses tonight. You're getting stars on your calendar for participation. You're doing good. Probably silver stars. I don't know where the gold stars yet, but you know. How about name calling? Would that be a good one to maybe put on there? How come, even though we kind of already addressed it in the beginning, but sometimes that verbal turns into physical. Maybe a physical fight, that could become sinful because that leads into other things, the hate and things like that. So we have things like that. We had gluttony. How about without an illustration? What other sins... Mr. King, what else can we put on here that maybe we haven't addressed through our fighting or through other things? What other sins are we, all of us in here, guilty of doing at some point in time? Because I love y'all, but we're all dirty, rotten sinners. We all are dirty, rotten sinners. What else could we put? Give me a suggestion.
Arrogance.
Arrogance. Good one. What else? Anybody else? What other sins do we have out there? Greed, yeah. Nobody said the one that I've said, I kind of already said. Greed kind of goes along with it, but the root of all evil is? Well, so the love, because it isn't the money itself, right? It's the love of money. Well, we could put that on here. And yeah, it can be horrible. What else do we have?
Sin of omission.
Anything else?
I mean, this is our heart so far. We're filling up. What other sins do we have? Oh, yeah, there we go. Hearing some that I wouldn't normally hear with the youth group, but I love it. What else? That could be an immodest appearance, which would lead to our lustful hearts. Anything back over here? This is all the sins we have? Stealing's a sin. Maybe think back to the Ten Commandments. Any other sins that we're killing? It's a sin. I mean, I realize that maybe we don't have a room full of murderers, but sometimes we might murder somebody in our hearts and not do it physically, by the way.
Yeah.
So that essentially is still killing. But that is a sin, right? Murder is a sin. How about, you know, dishonoring your, I think we said dishonor, but disrespecting your parents for youth. Oh, the Lord's name in vain. Amen. I had to correct a student this week on that. What was your next one there, Timmy? What's that? Abuse? Physical or mental? Both, right? What else?
Grieving the Holy Spirit.
We oftentimes do that. Anything else? I mean, we really could go on. In the end, though, we probably think that God sees us, if you look at this, God sees us as dishonorable, lusting gossipers. That's really how we could think that God might see us. Now, I'm not saying that we don't see him, that he loves us. But when he looks down and he sees our hearts are like this, he could see us. Let's be honest. He could see us as these just dishonorable, lusting gossipers. And after all, let me tell you, we are dishonorable, lusting gossipers. I love y'all. But we all put our pants on the same way, or we should at least. And we all are dirty, rotten sinners. And the consequence of our sin, and I know I'm talking to a room full of believers in general, but the consequence is separation from God and death. That is just what we deserve. That is what you and I deserve, is that separation from God. We deserve death. Now, thankfully, with Jesus, we have eternal life. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. Micah chapter 7, verse 19, it reads, he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. So here, hopefully, if this works, is an example of what that kind of looks like. God takes all of our sin that we confess to him, and he throws it into the ocean. He throws it into this ocean that I have right here. You could. You want to? Yeah, you can hold it up. See, we have a powerful ocean. It's going to be lifted. He buries it into the depths of the sea. He personally grabs our sin and hurls it into an abyss. I know that this is a small ocean, but I think you will quickly get the point. Once our sin has been forgiven by God and tossed into the sea, it cannot ever come out. There it goes. It cannot ever be held against us. It cannot ever separate us from God. Simply put, because God has forgiven us, he has eradicated our sin. Pretty close to all the way done. I wanted to show you this powerful lesson during our time together because it is a fairly accurate representation of what God does for us. You saw that styrofoam cup, which had been stained and tainted by sin, and you saw it destroyed once and for all when it went into the liquid. Now, let me tell you, folks, we do have to come do the ABCs, don't we? We do have to admit that we are dirty, rotten sinners. We do have to believe. You have to have childlike faith in our Heavenly Father, in our Lord, Jesus Christ. You have to have that faith in your heart, and you have to call Him in. You have to confess those sins, ask for the forgiveness, and what does He do? He forgives you. He eradicates our sins. You see, that is what God does with it. But only if we take the time to ask Him. And when we ask God to forgive our sin, He does so through the blood of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, I may be talking to a room hopefully full of believers, but I love talking about Jesus Christ. And I love the fact that His blood washed away my sins. And maybe there isn't going to be somebody here tonight to be saved, but maybe somebody's watching us online tonight. Or maybe somebody will watch us tomorrow and they'll get this point. You see, then, after Jesus does that, then and only then is our sin overcome and destroyed, and there is no other way. Our good works are not getting us to heaven. It's not getting us there. And you need to look at God's word to cement this truth in your hearts. And honestly, if there is somebody here tonight, if there is somebody online, if there is somebody that you know, they need to get it right now. Folks, we live in a trying time, and we don't know what's going to happen tonight. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, or a month from now. I've many times, especially since I've been in ministry, have gotten that phone call of a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, a 50-year-old. Or how about let's get it here closer to home when we got the phone call from a student, by a family of a student to Town East Christian School that had passed away unexpectedly. We don't know. They don't know. We can't wait. We need to look at God's word. We need to cement this truth in our hearts. And if there is somebody that needs help with this, I am positive, I am sure that we have somebody here tonight, myself included, I would stay late, of course, that can show you or them the way. And we can show by using this great book. By the way, this is the best book you could ever have. Now, I say this in chapel all the time, folks. This is not a book of stories. I really don't like when people say, let me read you a Bible story. This is not a myth. This is not untrue facts. This is a book of truth. It's the truth from page one to page end. This is the book. This is the way, the truth, and the life through Him. That would have been really bad. Miss April, I can't believe you put that there in my way. It's all your fault. Thank you. We need to look at God's word, thank you, honey, to cement the truth in our hearts. And if there is somebody, seriously, and if they're online, look, they could call me. And call the school and call the church. Somebody get a hold of me. I'll go over the word of God with them. I'll show them the ABCs. Because it's important. And I don't want anybody to depart through those doors tonight. You see, even though it doesn't say there, when you leave through those doors tonight, if you're a believer, you're a missionary. But if you leave there and you don't have your salvation, then you're potentially going to the one place you don't want to spend eternity. It's a burden on my heart. And I know it's a burden on our pastor's heart. I know that Pastor Riggs has the burden to lead those who are lost to salvation. So don't leave here today without knowing the truth. 1 John chapter 1, if you're there, we'll look at some scripture real quick. Verses 5 through 9, and then we're going to wrap up. This then is the message. Oh, let me double check. Yes, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then verse 9, very familiar verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. We're going to begin closing here. During our time together, really, I hope that, you know, I try to make it a little bit lighter tonight, but this is a serious message. Because we have people that are unsaved. And we don't really know what's going to happen. And we want to present the word of God to those who do not believe. And we want to plant that seed. We want that seed to grow. And we want those who have not accepted him to accept that free gift that only God can provide. We got a chance to see what it looks like for our sin to be dissolved, to be overcome, and to be destroyed. That's what we witnessed here tonight. But that is just the power of God's word echoing true one more time. It's not the words that I have written here or I'm speaking tonight. That's the power of God's word echoing true one more time. And when we confess our sin to God, he forgives our sin. And in fact, he cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Isn't that what the word of God tells us? In other words, he removes from us anything and everything that is unclean. But if you only hear one thing before we break away, then let it be this. Only Jesus can forgive us of our sin. Each of us needs to take that with us tonight. We all have sin, but there is only one who can take it away and destroy it like we saw earlier. And that one is Jesus Christ. Now, we may have those that are not believers here tonight, and you know what? We can pretend that we do not have sin. And sometimes even Christians pretend like we don't have sin anymore. And that's what a lot of people do, but that just does not work, because many of us here today, many of us here tonight know that everybody is a sinner. I've said it. If you do this, you really just look like a stuck-up, self-righteous fool. If you think you're here without sin, that's what you look like. You know, all of us sitting here tonight, I would imagine we all know this familiar verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have. And you could tell yourself that sin is not serious, but and sure, you admit that you are a sinner, but you do not really assign any importance to that reality. See, that's another aspect that we have. Many Christians do that. We tell ourselves, oh, sin is not serious. It's just a little sin. Well, sin is sin, folks. We might admit that we're a sinner, but we don't assign any importance to the reality. And in other words, we try to strip sin of its significance in our lives. And that doesn't work either, because sin leaves a trail of brokenness in our lives and the lives of those that are close to us. And by the way, if you think you're hiding your sin, there's always somebody watching. He'll see. You could try to cover your sin. You could try to cover your wrongdoing by yourself, but that will not work because you have just not only offended and hurt others, but you have offended and hurt God. Remember that when you try to cover your sin, you're going to offend or hurt others, but you're going to really offend or hurt the primary one, the main one, and that's Him. That's our Heavenly Father. And can you really even truly cover that sin? Because doesn't God see you anyways? Our best solution is to ask God to forgive us. You know, Romans 6:23, it tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that really is. And I know I'm talking to a room full of believers for the most part, or at least I think I am. But that is the way. The only way to be forgiven of our sins, and that's to bring him into our hearts. I'd like us to close here tonight. We'll bow our heads. We'll close our eyes. Maybe there was something in this message and you just need a moment with the Lord. We don't need music to open up the altar. Maybe there's somebody that's on your heart right here tonight that you know is not a believer and you've been praying for him. Why not come to the holiest place in the whole wide church right here and come on bended knee and pray for your friend or pray for your family member that's not saved, and that maybe the Lord will work in their hearts. Many times through the years, I've had somebody that maybe I spoke to many years before, but I've been praying for, has come to me much later after presenting the gospel and praying for them. and have accepted them later. Prayer works, folks. Come up here and pray for those you love that you know are not saved. I prayed here right before the start of this service for my own mom. I know she has not accepted the Lord. Remember the ABCs. Remember that you have to admit that you're a sinner. Remember that you have to believe in Him. Remember that you have to call Him in. You have to confess those sins. You have to call Him into your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Nobody's looking around. I realize this is a midweek service, but maybe there is somebody here tonight that just does not have that precious gift. I like to term it this way: eternal salvation, eternal life, a life insurance policy that never expires. But you have to accept the gift. And I don't believe our God gives you a gift to take it away. I believe once you've received it, you have it. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't accepted that gift. Maybe you're watching us on live stream and you haven't accepted that precious gift. But if you're here and you need me to pray for you, you need our pastors to pray for our pastor to pray for you and other church family to pray for you, we're not going to embarrass you. Just slip your hand. Let me begin praying now. Heavenly Father, I do thank You for this opportunity to present this message. I pray that the church family enjoyed it. I pray it was just a great reminder of our salvation and the importance of spreading the gospel to others. Just a reminder that once we confess those sins, they melt away. Once we believe in You. I do pray again for our pastor and Mrs. Christie as they're traveling home. Get them here safely. Give them the travel mercies. I pray for others that are in the hospital or maybe at home that are not able to come out to church here tonight. I know we're going to get ready to come to You in further prayer, but we'll lift them up to You here and now. I pray a hedge of protection around us. I pray that You get us back home safely and then return us at the next appointed time. Let us be in our places when we need to be there. We love You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.